It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And podcasts, recaps of the shows can be found there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We greatly appreciate that. Have a very important show planned for you today. Today is Good Friday. Steve, it is one of the most holy days in the Christian calendar. I woke up in the middle of the night and was awake for a while, just thinking about what happened oh so long ago, the night that Christ was accused of a variety of things and was crucified then today. And was just thinking about the events of what was going on that night so long ago.
I've been pondering all week. And, you know, the whole nature of our show is usually things that are political in nature. I have always been fascinated with the politics of this week in terms of the power struggle that was going on in Jerusalem at that time and how they were trying to keep, you know, reign over this group of people, you know, led by this man, this Jesus person. And again, the politics are just fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. So anyway, it was it's just such an interesting time right now. But there is the hope of Easter, where Christ rose again and overcame sin and death. So what a great thing, particularly during the time that we're going through right now, to reflect upon this. So I wish you all a very happy Easter on Sunday. Our headlines for hope, be sure and check that out. That's on the website, KimMunson.com. And our story for yesterday, their little three-minute snippets, is the story of Reverend Billy Graham. Really a fascinating story, so be sure and check that out. Important show planned for you today. We're going to have Karen Levine, you know her, RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor, on here shortly, as well as Lauren Levy. Both of them are very valued sponsors of mine. Lauren is a mortgage financing specialist with Polygon Financial. Then Casper Stockham, he is a candidate for Congressional District 7, is planning an American Freedom event. It's an online event tomorrow. It's from 10 to 1. Amazing guests. Albert Guillory, Reverend C.L. Bryant, just a whole host of wonderful guests. And I get to MC it, Steve, so it's going to be really cool.
This is probably not an actual public event. This is going to be a virtual event.
Yes, it's going to be virtual.
Okay.
So be sure and check that out as well.
I will.
Okay. And then Chris Stefanik, you know him, real life Catholic. He is my guest for the third and fourth segment. As we are looking at these issues, my friends, Rudyard Kipling really has given us great advice. He says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. So be sure and check that out. We look at these issues within that context of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. We're seeing all kinds of force over there. We're seeing all kinds of politicians and bureaucrats and interest in parties using force. And as we're walking through this, the veil is coming off on real agendas, and we will keep an eye on that. Remember, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. And today, I'm thinking of all the things I'm grateful for, but very grateful for this team I get to work with, Crawford Broadcasting, as well as producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Appreciate all your support, your hard work, and each of you listeners. You each are valued, you're treasured. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Do something industrious. Do something to better yourself. And at the end of the day, you can go to bed and say, hey, I got something accomplished. Our inspiration for today is Reverend Billy Graham. And he says, a little history on him. He was an American evangelist, a prominent evangelical Christian figure, and an ordained Southern Baptist minister who became well known internationally in the late 1940s. One of his biographers has placed him among the most influential Christian leaders of the 20th century. He was born in 1918, and he died in 2018 at the age of 99. And he says, every day has exactly 1,440 minutes. Can't you even find 10 of them to be with your Heavenly Father? Doesn't God deserve the best minutes of your day? And I love that, Steve.
I get, as soon as I hear his name, I go back to 1987 when he was here in Denver for probably about 10 days, I guess. He had a crusade here at the old Mile High Stadium, and I and my wife were in the choir, which was, that alone was
cool.
An incredible experience. But, man, it was just a really cool time to be, you know, to be a Christian and to, you know, be that exposed to this guy who's been, like he said, every country of the world. He's had a chance to preach the gospel, and you just knew you were seeing something very special.
Yeah, it was. I remember that as well. So I thought he was very appropriate for Good Friday. So our funnies, I think you're going to love this one. A man and wife were having an argument about who should brew the coffee each morning. The wife said, you should do it because you get up first, and then we don't have to wait as long to get our coffee. The husband said, you are in charge of cooking around here, and you should do it because that is your job, and I can just wait for my coffee. The wife replied, no, you should do it. And besides, it's in the Bible that the man should do the coffee. With that, the husband balked, saying, I can't believe that. Show me. So the wife went and got the Bible, opened the New Testament, and showed him at the top of several pages that indeed it says, he brews.
I saw that one coming.
Okay, a couple of things. As many of you may know, we have moved our first salon series, which will now be on June 22nd. It's with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. It will be at Water's Edge Winery, and the subject is Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. You can buy your tickets by going to my website. It's going to be an important evening, and I tell you what, after we've gone through what we're going through, it will be very important to get your brain around this, because we have November elections that we are going to need to work to make sure that we will elect people that will honor our individual freedoms. And so that's going to be very important. And then also, if you have any old men's cotton shirts, extra large, Dee Dee Chisholm over at Bella Wellness and Healthcare could really use those. So you can contact them, or you can go to my website and send me an email as well. So on the line with me right now is Karen Levine and Lauren Levy. Karen Levine, you know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And then Lauren Levy is a specialist with Polygon Financial. He's a mortgage specialist. And Lauren, welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Kim. Good to be on.
So what's going on in the mortgage market right now?
You know, as we come on more frequently, Kim, things are, still continuing to change, you know, week by week, if not day by day. But, you know, loans are getting done. Actually, yesterday, rates took a little dip, and it was nice. There were some people that were able to take advantage of a refinance when we thought they maybe had to wait a little bit. So it's really been day by day. We're seeing changes to programs where lenders are still somewhat concerned about what's happening with unemployment. And so they're just, they're just re-verifying and double-checking and triple-checking folks, you know, more than ever.
So you said interest rates have taken a little bit of a dip. I know it's got to be a bit of a wild ride on these interest rates, but it's important whether or not you're doing a refi or if you're thinking about buying something to get everything in order so that you're ready to roll when things might take a little bit of a dip, huh?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I spend a lot of time talking to lenders, just trying to see what is happening in the market as they navigate through discussions they have with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And I think a lot of them are in consensus that when this virus eases up and begins to move on, that they think rates are going to come down to possibly back to where they were maybe a month and a half ago. And if that's the case, there's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of people to become buyers if they, you know, if they're waiting for any reason, once showings can start happening again. So it's a good idea to get pre-qualified for that and just to be ready to pull the trigger you know, to save some money when rates drop to do a refinance as well.
Well, you know, preparation is so key. People, I've heard a story the other day of somebody recommending to take a look at doing a refi, and the people didn't act immediately, and then interest rates went up, and they're like, ah, I should have done that. And so if you have everything in order, you can, and rates are low, for sure, but if you have everything in order and you're kind of watching that mortgage market, then you're ready to really pull the trigger pretty quickly. If you prepare, preparing is one of the keys to success in anything, Lauren.
That's right. And it's, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that, Kim. There, people have they just aren't involved with it on a daily basis, so they don't understand that when you have things happening in the mortgage market right now, such as the Federal Reserve coming in and being an important buyer for loans on the backside, that throughout the day there's different opportunities that may show themselves. You know, we've been noticing early on in the day when the Fed is in there doing their buying action that rates seem to be better. Then in the afternoon when the Fed gets done for the day, rates kind of back off. So if you can have everything prepared and ready to go, you can pounce and take advantage of an opportunity without someone like myself having to spend several minutes on the phone doing an application. We can already have that done so that we can jump on a rate when we see it.
Okay, and so what should people do so that they're ready? I know they should reach out to you. What happens?
Yeah, the easiest thing is to just call us at 303-880-8881, and we'll do a quick, short 10-minute phone call at the max to get all the pertinent data down and have everything ready to go. So if that rate that they're looking for does show itself, we can go in and lock it right away.
Okay. Again, Lauren, that number is 303-880-8881, right?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, and so you'll be on next Friday. We want to make sure that we keep people informed on what's going on, so you'll be on next Friday to give us a weekly update on that. Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and you have a great weekend. Before we go to break, you know, it is a very difficult time right now for our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. And with Polis and Hancock and, you know, other bureaucrats, edicts to close down our dine-in options for individuals, restaurant workers are facing a really difficult time. And so they're getting creative. And let Hooters restaurants know how much you appreciate their sponsorship of my shows by stopping by and picking up dinner to take home. Or you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door. They have great original wings and these new delectable smoked wings. They're half the calories. And Hooters Restaurants is adding in curbside pickup for to-go orders. You can order your food to go at order.hooters.com. It's a very popular option, and be sure and check that out. And as the Queen of England says, stay calm, carry on. We're Americans. Let's act like it, and let's help out our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. We'll be right back.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. On the line with me is Casper Stockham. He is he's a true American and really a patriot, and he cares deeply about the American idea. He is a candidate for Congressional District 7 here, and it'd be great to send him to Congress. And he is planning an American Freedom event. It's a virtual event tomorrow. Casper Stockham, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim, it's good to be with you. Yeah, that's going to be an awesome event tomorrow.
My gosh, I look at the guest list, and it is going to be something else. So what's going to go on? How's this all going to work?
Yeah, so tomorrow morning, the virtual doors open at 9:30. The event starts at 10, and we have an awesome list of speakers. We've got Albert Guillory, we got Laura Carno, we got Derek Woolburn, we got Heidi Genault, we have C.L. Bryant, we have Karen Cataline, we have myself, and Steve House as well. And we're going to be basically covering different parts of American freedom. This is something that's very concerning right now for those of us who are patriots. And we're going to be talking about that from education to Second Amendment to all those topics dealing with freedom.
You know, Casper, this is so timely. Before we started this China virus disruption in our lives, I think people were busy. They were feeling very prosperous, thriving. You'd go to the grocery store, you know, you could buy anything you wanted and more. And now, and people would say, I'm not really into politics. But we're learning that politics is into you. When we look at the power of these shutdowns, shutting down businesses. Somebody sent me a picture yesterday of here in the metro area that one of the municipalities had actually gone in and put mulch in a skate park to keep kids from skating at the park. Right. This is beyond belief. And so this is really important what you're doing tomorrow.
Yeah. And speaking of children, this would be a great homeschooling event for parents to plug their kids into. It's going to be very family friendly. It's going to go fast. It's a three-hour event, but they're going to be very entertained the whole time, especially with the different speakers, you know, the different videos we're going to show. We're going to show some Reagan, classic Reagan videos as well. It's going to be a really fun time for people to just kind of unwind a little bit, if you will, but hear about the American freedom and keep the American spirit alive. It's also going to be a chance for people to get to see some of their CD7 candidates, which right now, under these circumstances, are not getting a lot of exposure out there in the marketplace. So this is just going to be a great event to get exposure for the candidates and hopefully raise a few dollars for them as well.
You know, this is a very important election. Obviously, there's a presidential election that's going to be in November. But all of these other races are super important as well. And as difficult as this disruption is in our lives, I'm very grateful, Casper, that the veil is off. Many times I used to see bumper stickers of coexist or tolerance or different things like that. And I've realized that many that have espoused that actually aren't tolerant of anything other than their own ideas. And many of these people have been elected. And we now see once they have a little power, they want to take a whole lot more. And that is antithetical to American freedom, Casper.
It is. And, you know, the case that you mentioned about filling up that skating skating location with mulch, you know, that's them not being tolerant of people that just want to get outside. You know, they're in the house cooped up all day. They want to, and the kids especially, you know, we got to keep them busy with stuff. And so it made no sense for them to fill that place up with mulch because, first of all, the kids are probably not all that close to each other. You can't be close to each other if you're skating around. You know, you're not sitting on top of each other, and it just doesn't make any sense. You know, we need to get back to work like yesterday,
okay.
And we need to do it with as much safety as we can. You know, with distancing and gloves and masks or whatever we want to do, but we need to get back to work like yesterday.
Most definitely. The other thing that's been interesting that we're going to see with this whole COVID-19 China virus thing is some of the data, some of the modeling that they had used may have been way out of, it wasn't correct. And so to shut down a whole economy on information that may be faulty it's going to be interesting to see as we continue to walk through this thing, Casper Stockham.
Yeah. And the way they're spinning that, Kim, is even more sad because it says, see, you know, we were predicting 2 million, but it's only going to be 60,000. Well, if they had said 60,000 from the beginning, there wouldn't have been reason to shut the academy down. So it's just, yeah, it's bad, and the numbers aren't adding up. And I've been saying this, and I believe you have as well. You know, we've been saying this for weeks now. The numbers are just not adding up. It doesn't make sense to shut our
which is a good thing.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> You know, it doesn't make sense to shut our entire economy down, you know, for those numbers, even though it's a tragedy. One life is a tragedy. But if
most
you shut
definitely.
The economy down, we're gonna have tens of thousands more lives that are going to be affected in a negative way, you know, from suicide to just all types of different challenges that are going to go on with the struggling economy.
So how can people find this event that we're doing tomorrow, Casper Stockham?
Yeah, so the best way to find it now is from my website. There's a link. So they can go to Casper4Colorado.com. Casper4Colorado.com. Just click on events. So we're going to have the event live streaming straight from my website. And we're also going to be working on a Facebook Live as well. So they can go to Facebook, Casper for Colorado on Facebook, and find the event as well. It's going to be streaming to a couple different locations, plus we're blasting out emails and stuff. I think you sent out in the newsletter about the event as well. So,
right.
We did,
which is another reason why people should sign up for my weekly email newsletter. So, Casper, we're getting close to the end of our time on this, but you have stepped forward to put your name forward and to run for Congressional District 7. Why do you think that you are the best person to send to Washington there?
Well, I'm the best person to send to Washington in any district, but 7 is a district that can be won. We just need to have the right resources applied to 7. And that's been a challenge for 7, 1, and 2. Those districts have been typically off-limits for the party. The Republican Party and even the National Republican Party have not even tried. I mean, like, literally no money in those districts. And that's a mistake. We should always try. But 7 is winnable. I'm reaching out to the quote-unquote establishment and my former opponent, now friend, Steve House, and I just want to be able to bring us together in a way that we can really put some resources towards winning 7, and I believe with the proper resources, we can definitely do it. And also, I have a lot of support in Jefferson County because when I ran in City 1, I would always win Jefferson County, but then I would lose when you add in the Denver County votes to that, I would lose. So I have a lot of support already as a base in Jefferson County. So Jefferson and Adams County are both counties that we can flip over to Republicans.
Well, and this is such an important year to make this happen. And I really appreciate you stepping forward because we've got a battle out there, and we really need to engage in each battle if, in fact, we're going to win this war for freedom. And so the fact that you're stepping up to run in Congressional District 7, I think, is a good thing. Now, explain to me, though, do you live in Congressional District 7, or how does that work exactly, Casper?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, because I ran in 1 twice, but I've lived in 6 for over 16 years. Now, I've lived in 1 before, but I live in 6 right now, and I'll be moving to 7. But you don't have to live in the district to run, but you do have to live to serve. So had I won, I would have had to move into 1, and now I would have to move into 7. But it's really it's really been a blessing because we're in transition anyway. So we're looking for a new place to buy. So now I guess we'll be buying in 7.
Well, that sounds like a good thing. And, of course, you can talk to Karen Levine, RE/MAX award-winning realtor, when you're buying and selling your house. So, Casper, I am so excited about this tomorrow. And, again, people can go to CasperForColorado.com, and 4 is spelled out, CasperForColorado.com, and go to events, or it'll also be on Facebook. And you've got some amazing speakers. Reverend C.L. Bryant, Albert Guillory, Laura Carno, Heidi Ganahl. I mean, it's going to be a great event. And as you mentioned, each of these people will be talking about American freedom. So this is something to do with your kids while you're cooped up in the house, is go to this event. It's going to be awesome tomorrow, Casper Stockham. So thank you.
You're welcome, Kim. Have a good day.
Well, you too. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And on the line is Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Easter to you. It's Good Friday. And how are you doing this morning, Jason?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I would have liked to have the day off since the market's closed, but we all know you're a slave driver, so I had to get up anyway.
Well, I'm sure that people may want to talk to you and all your colleagues, although is the switchboard closed today?
I would assume that Natalie is taking the day off, yes. I
mean, okay.
You could probably call and, I don't know. That's a good question. I imagine she might pick it up and forward. You just have to try and see.
Well, and if not, folks can go to airpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com, and you'll be checking that throughout the day.
Yep, we'll get an email. And, you know, when you go to the AIRpresidential.com, Kim, we've got some really good information about the CARES Act, C-A-R-E-S. This was the act that came out recently due to COVID. And there's some interesting things with IRAs and retirement plans, and one of them is that required minimum distributions are waived for this year. So if you haven't taken your required minimum yet, you don't have to. And interestingly, if you already did, let's say you took it out earlier this year, you have 60 days where you could roll it back in to the IRA or the account, and it kind of gets rid of the distribution. And, Kim, that brings up kind of an interesting point for those that may have had to, let's say, sell some stocks early in February when prices were high because they wanted to raise cash to take out for the required distribution. Well, if you can get that money back in within 60 days, you may be able to buy back the same stocks that you sold much, much cheaper now if you only took that RMD because you were forced to and you didn't need the money.
Okay, so there's some strategies out there. And instead of paying money to the federal government and the state government, if you can keep it yourself, that's a pretty good idea. So I would recommend that if anybody wants any help, they can reach out to you and your other colleagues there at Presidential Wealth Management.
Yep, we've got some great folks there, young, old, men, women. I already said old and young, so I guess that about, I was going to say smart and not so smart, but
they're all
smart. I didn't want to reveal myself, you know what I mean, Kim? But you could talk to anybody there. We've got great folks that are smart that can help you out. Again, you can call 303-694-1600. I think now, I don't know if Natalie answered today or not, but you can also go to the website too, and you can send an email from there. Go to airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com.
And you can sign up for your newsletter there as well. I'm looking at it. And then you've put a piece together on this CARES Act. You said it's free information on the CARES Act, and you can just sign up for that as well. So, Jason, thank you so much. I wish you and your family a very blessed Easter. It's a crazy time right now, but, you know, the hope of Easter is, you know, it's what gives us peace and gives us the courage to continue on every day. And I'm going to be talking in the next segments, 3 and 4, with a guy that you introduced me to, and that is Chris Stefanik with Real Life Catholic. Yeah, so it's going to be a really great conversation. So I really appreciate that connection.
You know, when he's talking, listen, I'm going to sneak over to his house and go to his window and scare him while he's on the air with you. We'll see what happens.
He might be listening, so it won't be a surprise. So
yeah, I won't really do that, Chris. Don't start packing.
Okay. Hey, Jason McBride, thank you so much. Wishing again you and your family a happy Easter. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye.
You bet. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Chris Stefanik, Real Life Catholic, will be talking about the hope of Easter. Stay tuned.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance.
As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Recaps and podcasts of the shows can be found there, as well as our new headlines for Hope. Yesterday's story was regarding Reverend Billy Graham. They're little three-minute snippets that hopefully will give you some history and some hope. But somebody that is just really, just a really interesting guy. He is the founder of Real Life Catholic. And Chris Stefanik, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kim.
It is Good Friday. And actually, as I was thinking about this, long before this whole disruption with COVID-19 China virus, that I wanted to have you on Good Friday because of your work as with your whole program of Real Life Catholic. And I wanted to talk about the hope of Easter. So where would you like to start with this, Chris?
Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot this week about how the heck do you celebrate Easter at a time like this? And it's I think for a lot of people, the sadness and the weight of all that we're going through as a nation is really hitting home, because you're looking at what you usually love to do on Easter Sunday. You love to bring your family all dressed up to a nice church service. You love to gather with your extended family, crowded with them, hug them, you know. And it's really hitting home. I've talked to a lot of people who are feeling like a lot of sadness or anxiety this week. But, you know, the one thought that's been just carrying me through all this and giving me hope and joy is just to think of the early church. You know, the very first Christians celebrated Easter in precisely this way. They didn't celebrate at a big party. They received the best news that human history would ever receive, which is that Jesus is risen from the dead. They received that news while they were locked behind closed doors, hiding for fear of death.
So, wow. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and this is really, like, this is exactly how the first Christians celebrated Easter. And the more I think about that, the more the love of God just strikes me. You know, God didn't bring this news to humanity in the midst of a party when things were going well. You know, we received the news that Jesus was risen from the dead precisely when things were going really badly. And it's into this darkness of the human experience, in isolation, in anxiety, in fear, in financial insecurity, and facing realities of life and death. It's in precisely that situation that God breaks in with the good news, with the best news we've ever received, that Jesus is risen from the dead, and that suffering doesn't get the final word in our life. That even death doesn't come to stay, it comes to pass. That every suffering that humanity can endure is transformed because we have a God who didn't stay aloof from us and remain in the clouds, but came down and embraced it. And because he's bigger than us, whatever he comes into actually enters into him. You know, so this all these experiences of humanity enter into the love that is God. And it didn't change everything for the apostles to hear that. The pain didn't go away of the moment, but it changed them when they heard that Jesus rose from the dead. And somehow that's all that really matters, isn't it? But
you know,
in the midst
yes.
of all the craziness, we're transformed. We are.
You know, I had said to Steve earlier in the show that I woke up in the middle of the night And thinking about just what this night was as we were coming into Good Friday, there'd been the Passover, obviously, and then Christ, Judas betrays him, and then, you know, Christ is put on trial, and then he is beaten and flogged, and it, I mean, it's just unbelievable to think about what happened, and ultimately he's crucified on Good Friday. And as I was thinking about that, I realized then, I was thinking about him on the cross and all that he went through. And what is so amazing is he went through everything that any of us will ever go through. I mean, looking down and seeing Mary when he's on the cross, here is a woman that's losing her child at that time. And that had to break his heart. You know, they took his clothes, they took everything. He lost everything. He certainly was in ill health, if you will, after he'd been beaten and all. I mean, he has gone through everything. So as we go through it, we know that he can go through it with us. Right, Chris?
That's it. I mean, and honestly, this is why we call Good Friday good and not miserable Friday. You know, there's something that's transformed even about human suffering, that God went through it for us. You know, I love the saying that he didn't suffer so we wouldn't have to, but so we'd know how to. You know, I think there's a version of Christianity that says, hey, come follow God and nothing bad will happen to you. He'll save you from every tragedy. Actually, it's not true at all. I mean, follow God, and the central image of Christianity is a man in agony on a cross. I mean, this is a promise that bad things will happen to you, but that they don't get the final word. That even in the midst of suffering, it's not, you know, the final word in every circumstance in our life is he is risen. That's the final word. And I think that God could have redeemed humanity some other way. I mean, he's all powerful. We have a God who could have snapped his fingers and set us right with himself. I think he chose the gruesome path of the cross to show us that, you know, when you're in those moments of your life where you want to say, God, where are you? He's right next to you on the cross, and he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? So you'd have someone to say it with. I mean, he redeems us from sin, but because he enters every experience in human existence, he actually redeems and changes the meaning of everything, not just saving people from things they've done wrong. He writes every wrong in some strange, mystical way. He blasts into our darkness in a way that we couldn't have foreseen. I mean, this is a level of redemption that we couldn't have prophesied, wrapped our minds around. But this is what he gives us because he loves us. And I think it shows also the cross, just the level that he went to of darkness, the amount of suffering he embraced. I mean, think about it. Like you said, I mean, everything we could experience, everything from political instability to bloodlust, to cowardice, all these things put him to the cross. And he shows us by taking all that on just how much he loves us, how far he'd go for us. You know, I think of when I had we had our first child, and we were in Los Angeles at the time. And I tell you, we spent a couple days in the hospital afterwards. My wife, she's a saint, she's had 6 C-sections. Right, and I remind the kids of that when they're misbehaving. But I mean, we're in the hospital with our first kid, and I remember very distinctly when they said, "Okay, you can leave." And you know, as a new dad, it's like, "Oh wait, I get to take this child out into that city, right?" And there's this terrifying moment of I'm not ready for that. But as we left that hospital, I remember distinctly just something rising up inside of me, and I was willing instantly to put myself as a 23-year-old guy, between that child and everything that could harm her. It was the heart of a father that rose up inside of me. I mean, this is the beauty of Good Friday, that we see fully who God is. We see his face. We see it when we look at the cross, that we don't have this God who's indifferent to humanity. But as the whole world and all sin and all that could destroy us is pressing in on us, he comes between us and everything that could possibly harm us and embraces us in the midst of it all. And that even when bad things happen, he's with us in the midst of it all. He raises us up, redeems us from sin, changes the meaning of suffering and pain, and he reveals that he's a father who loves us, who will never leave us. I mean, this is, he reveals just how far he'd go for us. He reveals that our sins could never chase him away from us. Not even our own mess ups could chase him away. I mean, this is the beauty of Good Friday.
Well, and a couple of things, you know, we were just talking about, he's gone through everything. Another thing that we didn't mention was that he was isolated. All of his friends, you know, Peter said that he would go to the end. Sorry about that. That he would do anything for Christ, that he would never forsake him. And Christ looks at him and he says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And so everybody had left him. He was totally isolated. So if people feel totally isolated right now, again, Christ even took that on. He understood that when all of his friends left him. And I just find that so amazing as well, Chris Stefanik.
Yeah, and this is why the early church actually had joy in the midst of all their sufferings. I mean, when you read about things that were happening in the early church, you'd think these people should have been absolutely miserable, right? But it's the transformation of human suffering that gave them joy in the midst of suffering. There's a great scripture that says, the joy of the Lord must be your strength. And this was said by Nehemiah when the people of God were about to go back to Israel, rebuild their fallen city. And you know, these were not easy times. And that talk about joy and hope, it wasn't about putting on rose-colored glasses. You know, they were about to go home and rebuild a fallen city in the ancient world, which means they had no defending walls, which means a lot of them might have died. And in the midst of that context, they were told, joy must be your strength. And then you fast forward to the New Testament, and you think of a lot of the writings of St. Paul. Most of the stuff that he wrote about joy, about hope, about having the right mindset, he didn't write it when things were going well in his life. St. Paul was a man who was always on his feet, always on the move. I mean, he was a mover and shaker. He was in charge of things. He made things happen. He did this when he persecuted Christians. He was on the road when he converted. And then he went on the road constantly. And this is in his nature. But then he was put under in-house arrest for 2 years. Now, this whole coronavirus thing, you know, God willing, for those of us who, and most of us will, be just fine on the other side of it. Not going to last anywhere near 2 years, but it was while he was imprisoned for 2 years that he wrote most of the things he wrote about joy, things like Philippians, where it said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say it, rejoice, which is not just a suggestion but a command. Have no anxiety at all. You know, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. But there's really something about the fact that God entered our life and entered our death and conquered. You know, we Christians don't make peace with these things by this, you know, acceptance of them that says we just accept the nothingness. We give up our personhood, our personality. That would be more, you know, mystic Eastern religions. No, Christians make peace with these things by looking them in the eye and saying, we win. You know, this darkness doesn't get the final word.
And that ultimately, that is the beauty of the hope of Easter. Chris Stefanik, let's go to break. And a couple of things. I'd like to talk about Gethsemane, when Christ was praying that night. And then also the freedom that being a Christian brings into people's lives as well. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with the founder of Real Life Catholic, Chris Stefanik. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. recaps of the show, podcasts, everything's there. And be sure and sign up for my weekly newsletter. On the line with me is Chris Stefanik. He is the founder of Real Life Catholic. Chris, it's great to have you on the show. Before we move into these questions that I had for you, how can people find you? You know, what's your website and where's all that information?
Yeah, the website is reallifecatholic.com. And if you want to dive into some of the beauty of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and share it with a friend, the first link on our site is just Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. So check that out, reallifecatholic.com. Click on Jesus and click share. Share the hope of Easter with somebody.
Well, and we are in such a unique time. I hadn't really thought about it. As we started this conversation, you said that this is exactly what happened with the early church. They were behind closed doors. They were locked in. They were fearful of losing their lives. It has a direct correlation with what is happening in our, well, in the world today. But there is the hope of Easter, of Easter morning. But Chris Stefanik, it was not easy for Christ. I mean, this was no cakewalk. He was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And when he was in Gethsemane praying, I remember in the Bible it says he was actually sweating blood. Now, you talk about stress. If you are in that situation, he wasn't just real excited about what was going to happen the night of Passover going into Good Friday. He was pretty stressed out about it.
Yeah, there's a spiritual hope, a spiritual joy that can coexist with a very human level of sadness, of anxiety, of stress. And it's really comforting when you think about that in the agony in the garden. But this is Jesus' most human experience right there. You see him stressed out. And, you know, when you think about life and death and when you think about stocks crashing, you feel stress. And that's not an unholy thing. That's totally normal. That's totally human. And we look at what Jesus went through as he faced the reality of his pending death the following day. It says to all of humanity, hey, that's okay. But it also says, I'm with you in it. I mean, we don't have a God, again, who stayed hidden behind clouds. We don't have a God who says, hey, come run and find me. He ran to find us. He's with us in the midst of it. He never promised us we wouldn't suffer. What he promises us, and this is the promise of Good Friday, is that he is with us in the midst of our sufferings. And I think that answers humanity's deepest fear. We don't want to be alone. You know, and God says, you're not alone. I'm with you right here in the middle of all of it.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Bible reading. I had taken a class by a Christian who's just an amazing man. He was a scientist. He had studied at Stanford, and early in the 1960s, he became a Christian. And many times there may be scientists who are agnostic or maybe atheists, but he was one of the most influential Christians in my life. And he recommended daily Bible reading. And actually, Chris, within the next 2 days, I am going to have completed reading the complete Bible. And
awesome.
Not that I got everything, you know, sometimes I wasn't focusing, but it's been a good thing. And I'm going to start over because it's going to be part of my life again. But the Bible, people talk about the Bible and there's some things in the Old Testament. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And if you take things just by a chapter or by something certain there, I mean, it can be kind of, I don't know, I want to say concerning. It's like, I don't really like kind of that component. But somebody, and I think it was Ron that said to me that the Bible is actually a whole story of God's continuing to want to have a relationship with man. And taken in that context, it's a story from beginning to end. What would you say about that, Chris Stefanik?
Yeah, Origen is one of the first early Christian writers, and he said that the entire Bible is interpreted in the light of the Lamb that was slain. And in Revelation, you see a Lamb who has the power to break open the seal of a scroll. You know, when you see it through the lens of Jesus Christ and the cross, you can understand everything in its proper light. And when you see it in that way, what you see is a God who loves humanity and died for us, who chose us, who stumbled over himself trying to get us back to him when we strayed from him throughout the Old Testament. You even see the stories of war reinterpreted in a spiritual light, that it really is about our war with sin and with darkness, so we don't make peace with the vices in our lives. So we reinterpret everything as Christians through the lens of what we see today. this gentle lamb who was slain for us on the cross. And it really is the only way to properly interpret the story of the Bible and the story of our lives, that this is actually a love story. That your life, that the Bible and your life, it's not a story written by disaster, by plagues, by divorce, by a failure, by a sin. No. All those things are reduced to pages in a bigger story. And we still experience all those things in our lives, but there's a different cover on the book. And the cover is love story written by the hand of God. This is what makes the Bible. It's what makes Christianity. It's what makes our lives beautiful. When you take out the love story, you're not left with something very attractive at all, frankly. It's like marriage. If you remove the love story, you're left with a big, a big burden, a big set of to-dos, right?
So with that, and anytime you put in human nature into anything, whether it's politics or religion, you can see that people like to use that for power. It has happened, in churches. It happens in politics. And what is so interesting about the Christian experience, and I'm just trying to set this up, is, yes, there are Christians that have used religion to try to lord power over others. But that is not the true story of Christianity. Christ loves us so much that he says, I give you the freedom to reject me. And there is something very powerful about that. And, C.S. Lewis said that each one of us will have to come to terms with who this man Christ is. And if you say that he is just a good man and that he was a prophet that lived a long time ago, well, then it's almost crazy. Why would some prophet go to the cross if he was just a guy? The freedom to actually determine whether or not you want to accept him for who he is or not. He doesn't force it. It's totally freedom. And I find that so amazing, Chris Stefanik.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And yeah, you're right. I mean, people can run away from God because of the scandals throughout the history of the church that I'm sure are not blind to. Boy, it infuriates me reading some things in church history. And you see it throughout Scripture as well. Like you read the entire Old Testament. Some of the things recorded are people misusing religion to hurt other people. I mean, and it's not endorsed by the Bible, but it's sometimes just recorded by the Bible and says, hey, here's some stuff that happened, right? But we often run to excuses like that to run from God. Oh, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, you know what? There's room for one more.
Yeah.
I mean, what does it have to do with you and God? I mean, what does it have to do with you and the life you were made for? I mean, I'm not going to let the failures of it all block me from the fact that we have this God that blasted into the midst of our darkness to offer us hope, that died for us. I mean, at the end of the day, all these objections, all the scandals, all the confusions, it all fades away. And here I am, here you are, before the cross. I'd encourage everybody listening today, just spend a moment. Close your eyes and think about Jesus looking at you from the cross. I mean, this is at the end of the day, man. It's between you and God. And he reveals his love for you there. And he reveals what you're worth there. That in the mind of God, he found you. What's your net worth? Well, apparently it's God the Son. He found you worth dying for.
Yeah, it is everything. Okay, Chris Stefanik, so Easter morning. What would you recommend for people to do? I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do exactly on Easter morning. And I'd really taken worship for granted. I had actually been a little lax on going to church lately because I've got a lot of things going on. Not that I, not doing my devotions at all, but I'm not going to take that for granted when we come out on the other side. I'm going to be in church every Sunday when I'm in town. But what would you recommend for people today on Easter morning? What would you suggest that they do?
Open up your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those are the four Gospels. And toward the end of each Gospel is the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Pick one. Read it with your family before you dig into the Easter candy. Make it a solemn moment where dad, be a spiritual leader for your family. Crack open that Bible, read, maybe study it the night before and find that the chapter that moves your heart the most. I love the resurrection stories from the Gospel of John. And read it and just say a little prayer and then crack into your candy and cook your bacon and eggs. I know we can't have massive feasts if you weren't able to get the right meat at the store, but we can really make the most of the day. There's also a lot of live streaming services, church services, masses, whatever denomination you are. You're gonna find stuff streaming online. Set aside a little time to watch one with your family. Just Google, you'll find some stuff going on. There's a lot of ways to make this a sacred day. I mean, Jesus showed up. We started by talking about how the apostles were locked behind closed doors. Well, Jesus showed up. He can walk through closed doors, you know?
Yeah.
We can't get to church, but he can get to us. You know, so be aware of his presence, but you got to pray to tap into that presence. And maybe you're thinking, that's not like me. I'm not like the spiritual leader kind of dad. Well, you know what? This Easter, make it like you. You know, break out of your own skin and your own expectations of what you usually do, and you be the leader.
Well, Chris Stefanik, I love that. And again, what is your website?
RealLifeCatholic.com. Click on the Jesus tab.
And do that for sure this weekend as well. Chris Stefanik, thank you so much. Happy Easter to you and your family.
It's been a joy talking to you. Thank you.
Okay, and our quote for today is Billy Graham. He said, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I've just changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.